The plantation bell summoned everybody to the big house. About 50 slaves, including the inside help, gathered in front of the white mansion. Among them were Henry and his wife Charlemagne. Harper McAvoy, looking pale and weak, stood beside one of the big Doric columns that supported the second-story porch. After nervously clearing his throat, he announced in a not-so-steady voice, "I've sold Henry." One of the slaves screamed. Charlemagne, perhaps. Harper didn't know for sure. As he hurried back inside the house, voices called after him, "No, not Henry. Massa, what about Charlemagne? And the baby? Who will see after things round here? What will become of us all?" Harper raced to his study, where he barricaded himself against the onslaught of questions. "I sold Henry," he said, giggling foolishly. "I did it. Now I'll be rid of him." Suddenly, the door to his study burst open. "Do you hate me that much?" Henry asked without hesitation. "Enough to destroy Pin Oak?" Harper scurried behind his desk to put a barrier between them. "I owe you no explanation. You're my slave." Harper's resentment of Henry began in childhood. Actually, this story started with Amos McAvoy, the former master of Pin Oak. Amos had inherited the estate from his father, Thomas McAvoy, who had built it the same year Thomas Jefferson was elected President of the United States. Only Andrew Jackson's Hermitage equaled Pin Oak's graceful architectural styling and elegant setting. Amos McAvoy had been a tall, red-headed man with a square-cut chin and deep-set green eyes. He'd courted the lovely Alva Dean from Spring Manor and won her over with his dashing style and devil-may-care charm. Their spring wedding united two old Tennessee families, the Deans and the McAvoys, two fortunes and two hearts. But the marriage lasted only a year. The night they told Amos that Alva had died in childbirth, he locked himself in her room and wept bitterly. When Amos finally emerged the next morning, he named his son Harper, then abandoned Pin Oak, leaving it to be run by overseers. For 10 years, Harper saw Amos only a few weeks during harvest season. The rest of the time, his father stayed in New Orleans. The boy was left in the charge of his grandmother, Dean, who showered him with everything her money could buy. But material possessions and her love were no substitute for the thing he most desired: his father's acceptance. "He would rather I had died," Harper told his grandmother. And no matter how much Amanda Dean tried to deny it, they both knew it was true. To ease his pain, Harper taught himself not to care. Then one day, Amos unexpectedly arrived at the Dean's Spring Manor. Harper slipped down the steps and stood outside the parlor, where he listened to the conversation. "I'm returning to Pin Oak," Amos said, "and I want my son to come live with me." "There's nothing I can do to stop you," Amanda answered coldly. "But why now, after all these years? You've never taken the slightest interest in the boy before." "I know, and it was wrong," he admitted, "but I plan to make it up. I left my affairs in the care of others far too long." Amanda sighed deeply. "Harper is a complicated child. I don't think he knows how to be happy. I've spoiled him, I know. Perhaps it will be good for him to be with you." "Yes, from now on, things will be better,"